So if everybody would, let's turn, if you open your Bibles, and we've been in Jude, so if you thought we were going to start in Jude, curveball, we're not. We are actually going to start in 2 Peter. So turn with me to 2 Peter 3. I'm just going to open up with prayer real quick just for the message, so if you would. Heavenly Father, just ask that you be with everybody here this morning. Just ask that you be with me as I give forth your word. Just ask that you get honor and glory in it, Lord, and that you help everybody through it. And just ask that we can take something from this, Lord, and just be with everybody that's coming for the morning service as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so hopefully you are in 2 Peter 3. So we're just going to recap a little bit of what we went over last week, and the reason why is, or I guess 2 weeks ago. The reason why is because it leads right into what we need to go into for the next few verses. So, 2 Peter 3, we're going to read the first three verses. Hopefully I didn't write the wrong ones down, because I feel like I did. Oh, nope, I'm in the right place. All right, so verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. So we went over this a couple weeks ago, and then we're going to go right into John, if you'll turn with me to John 15. John chapter 15. And we're going to look here in verse 18. So John 15, verse 18. So this is Jesus speaking. It says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the world that I saved unto you, or said unto you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, then they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my sake, because they know not him that sent me. And then now, we're going to go back to Jude. So this all ties into, we looked at these murmurers that we've been going over, these people who've snuck into the church and are giving out false doctrine. We've been looking at these people, and Jude is kind of summing this up. And then we're going to start here in verse 17. It says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle our Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at those first, so that when we look here in verse 17, we know what he's speaking about. Okay? And the reason why is because Jude has been systematically setting this up, right? And I've been kind of adding to that every week. So starts out, this is who I am, and these are my credentials. The next verse is what I wanted to talk to you about, but unfortunately, we have these issues of people that have snuck into the church, these wolves in sheep clothing, if you will. And then you have the next section where he said, historically, here are examples where this has happened. And I'm bringing it to your remembrance. You should know this. Here's some historical examples. Then after that, he gives what these people are, and then he starts giving some physical examples and comparing them, right? And now we're looking at, if you don't believe this could happen to us now, remember Jesus said it. So this is something real world happening now within our time frame that you need to be aware of. And so, verse 17, he said, but beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts, These be they who separate themselves centrally, having not the Spirit. And that's how he kind of stops talking about these mockers, right? And I posed a question a couple weeks ago, have you ever been mocked for your belief in Jesus Christ? And if you're a Christian that got saved and you never spoke about the Lord at all, maybe not. But if you're even living for the Lord, you've probably been mocked for not doing certain things or whatever the case may be. So in some way, shape, or form, you probably have been mocked, right? Especially if you're outspoken. Now, that being said, and I want to go ahead and preface this, when you speak about the Lord and you get mocked for it, a lot of times you will get opportunities to witness to people, and there's more good that comes out of that, right? I was speaking to somebody this morning, and I was talking about there's a lady who sits right next to me, very curious about all different world religions, okay? And she'll ask crazy questions, which is a blessing, and it's also terrifying. Because she'll ask me questions, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And I get real excited when I know the answer, right? Because it's an excuse I get to talk about the Lord, and they started it. Like, I didn't even have to go to them, right? So I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, your Bible says this. And what's the craziest thing to me is that how I'm terrible at memorizing Scripture. If you were to ask me, oh, yeah, what does this verse say? I'd be like, I will give you a rough idea of what it says, right? I'm terrible. I've always been terrible at it. But when something like that happens, I can remember the Scripture, right? It's the Lord bringing Scripture in remembrance. But if you were just to ask me to memorize it, terrible. So I get excited at those things. But then you get asked a question, and you're like, that's a good question. I don't know, right? And that's what's good about those is then you get to go home, you get to research it, and then come back to that person with an answer, right? And if you just throw your hands up in the air and you're like, hey, I don't know the answer to your question, then that person may not come back to you again if they have a question. So it's a terrifying thing, but it's a great thing. But you see that Jude is about to shift gears. He's been talking nonstop about these terrible people that have invaded the church, right? And he shifts gears in verse 20. So let's look there. So he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." That's a huge shift, right? He's been talking nonstop about these wicked people, and then just kind of seemingly out of the blue starts talking about building yourself up in the faith. But if you look in context, it's because you have these mockers. If you've been compared, like if you look at the Scriptures and you understand what they're talking about, he's now telling you when you have these mockers, when you have these people that are challenging your faith or teaching false doctrine, here's how you deal with it. And that's what this verse is. So I want to look at this a little bit. It says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith." So he doesn't give any specifics. So I just kind of want to look at that for a minute. And there's a reason why, and we'll go through it. So turn with me to Colossians 2. So I'm going to read a few verses here. So Colossians 2, we're going to start in verse 4. It says, "In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding there in with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are completed in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the saints, or the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So why I went there is because that's a small section that you can point to answer the question is, what is the most holy faith? So if you look back in Jude, that's how verse 20 starts, right? But you, beloved, build up yourselves on the most holy faith. It says praying in the Holy Ghost. So I breezed over this verse the first time I read through Jude when I was going to do this study, right? And I've read through it a few times now because if you're going to teach on something, you should know it, right? So I breezed through this. I was like, this is a verse. How in the world can you make this last little section, how can you dig in there and find things? But when you really break it down, it says, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When someone questions your faith, like is going on here, when someone is teaching false doctrine, you need to build yourself up on what that doctrine really is, right? And in prayer, when you're getting mocked and bad things are happening in your life, no matter what it may be, you read that verse over there in Colossians, right? That builds you up. You realize that you are saved from all this wickedness. You're saved out of all these bad things, right? This is what the Lord has pulled you out of, okay? So just a couple things that went over there, right? Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, who is God. He died in your place and then paid for your sin as a sacrificial lamb. And then that he rose from the dead, and then we can rise with him, right? Because you were dead in your sin. So, I don't know, that's encouraging to me when I read it. Because when the world tries to take you down, because that's what happens, right? Especially if you work in a secular place or you spend a lot of time doing things of the world, and I don't mean bad, I mean you're just dealing with worldly people, whether it be friends, family, or job, whatever it may be, that weighs you down. And as goofy as it may sound, the amount of time I spent in my Bible having to do this was increased because I'm having to teach it, right? And I felt much better throughout the week. And then I had a day off last Sunday, right? Because I didn't have to teach Jude. And then when I started this last week of work, I didn't feel as good, right? Like things bothered me more. And that's because I was spending unintentionally less time in my Bible. So what Jude is telling us here is build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because we know that that God hears us. So, just to kind of hit on that point a little bit, if you will, let's go to Hebrews 4. We're going to read a small section here. Not too many verses. And we're going to start in verse 14. So Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When I read that, that builds me up. I can go to God. I can come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need when praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, it did talk about a priesthood here, and the high priest in your Old Testament, which we have looked at some Old Testament verses, the high priest would make these sacrifices for the congregation of Israel, right? They were a kind of sort of intercessor between the congregation and God, right? Well, Jesus takes that place. He's our high priest. Okay, so if you will, turn with me to Romans 8. I'm going to look here in verse 34. So Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is ever at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So that's Christ's job now, is to make intercession for us. So turn back with me to Jude. And while you're getting back there, hopefully you've held your place there. But you think, no matter what's going on, whether you be mockers or people criticizing you for your faith, maybe it's a hard question someone asks you and you're like, Lord, I don't know the answer to this, but I don't want this person hanging. Or maybe there's something else in your life that you need to go to the Lord about. You can go and pray in the Holy Ghost and you know that God hears you, right? Just an example, I know on our prayer list, we have my sister-in-law's on there because there are some complications with the baby, right? And still don't know how that's going to turn out, but basically when they first came to my brother and his wife, they were talking about probably need to have an abortion, baby's not going to make it, here's all these problems, and there's nothing much we can do, right? So he calls me, he's like, I don't know what to do, he's like, I feel helpless, right? And so we talked for a little bit, we went over some of the verses, and then, you know, he was talking to me about things, and obviously abortion off the table, right? He's like, we're not doing that. So they've been going to specialists and doctors. Every appointment they've had, the things they're checking for, the doctor's like, I don't know why the first appointment told you that. I don't see that. So there are a few complications that the baby's going to have, but so far it looks like all will be simple surgeries that should correct it. But when you go from, you should have an abortion because there's a 99.9% chance the baby's not going to make it, to you should be able to have the baby in any hospital and it should be fine. That's a huge difference. And then the doctors are baffled, and they're like, I don't know why this would have been said or put on the medical report. I don't know what they saw. And so a lot of people are saying, well, it was an error. They didn't actually see that. And so there's been an opportunity for my older brother to say, no, I guarantee that's what it was. But here's what happened, right? And that's an amazing thing, right? It's a blessing. And that should build us up. There's prayer in the Holy Ghost from this church and other churches. There's an answer to prayer, and that builds you up. But then in verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, we already went over how you can do that, right? And just kind of breaking it down when I looked at it, it said, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How do you keep yourself looking for that, right? There's a couple ways to do that. One, we've already done a lot of. We looked at a lot of scripture, right? So keeping yourself in the love of God, how do you do that? Look through a scripture. The love of God is all throughout your scriptures. Okay? And you're also looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. I would suggest, obviously, when you're going through your Bible, keep those things in mind. In verses, whether it be Old Testament, New Testament, look for the mercy of the Lord and look for his goodness, right? But don't just stop there. If you actually stop and you take your life as you go through it, as mundane or of a day it might be, or as exciting of a day as it might be, I guarantee you're going to see the things that Jesus has done for you to get you there. So, without going into it, I ended up at this church in a crazy set of circumstances, right? And I've used this as an example a few times. Older brother wanted to do modeling and acting. Still a work in progress for him. And so they said that he needed to build his resume and do local theater stuff. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to play soccer, right? And so he goes to do a local theater stuff, and he had been to all these different conventions to do all these things. And I would come along just to keep him company. And so he ended up at the Titusville Theater right down here. And he went to do this play. And the day before the play, one of the crew in the back, the tech crew, dropped out. And they needed somebody. So he voluntold me that I was going to help him. So obviously I wasn't going to let him down. I'll go and we'll get it done, right? Didn't necessarily want to be there, but I did it for him. And so he was appreciative of it. But then we ended up meeting somebody that was going to the church that worked backstage. They went to this church. And at the time, it was a girl. She was 14 at the time. We're much older. And she starts witnessing to us, right? And me and Christopher were like, man, if someone's that bold at 14 just to go up and talk to two older strangers about the Lord, like, we should probably go check this church out. And then we're here, right? So the Lord works in these crazy circumstances that seem like coincidence, but are a blessing, right? And that's what Jude is talking about. In your everyday life, keep your focus on the Lord, but also keep your focus on the things that matter, okay? So if you look at what he's talking about, so I'm just going to go back through it. Sorry, I know we've read it a few times. But he's saying this is what you need to focus on. But ye beloved, building up yourselves the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Right? And I say keep your focus on that because there's a lot of interesting things in your Bible. But sometimes there's not a lot to explain those things. Right? You get one verse. And I think this is what he was saying. There are a lot of people that are teaching these false doctrines that he's talking about because they've taken one verse and they've made a whole doctrine of the church off of one verse that they themselves have interpreted. Right? Which is wicked. That's not what we're supposed to do. Your Bible should be in agreement and you should be able to find these things all throughout your Bible. So they're focusing on the wrong things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a curious person. I read a verse, something's like, that's weird. Why is that here? I like to chase it down. Okay. Sometimes there'll be a weird word in there, and I'll chase down that word, and I'll find something great, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's, you know, but does it fit one of those criteria of what's honoring and glorying to the Lord? Like, should I focus on this? There are sometimes you chase things down, and then you're so far in left field, you're like, I don't know if I should keep going, right? Because you can, especially, you'll run into a point where you have to rely on other people, and they're interpreting Scripture for you, and then you're just taking their word for it. So you could end up down some rabbit holes that you believe some crazy doctrines, okay? And that's actually brings me to why I brought up this young lady that I work with. She will ask me sometimes some crazy questions, and I'm like, where did you get this? And they're like, oh, well, this verse right here says this. I'm like, okay, well, that's one verse. Let's look at other stuff, right? So keep your focus on what matters. So now, I want to look at the next two verses, because the next two verses, verse 22 and 23, do go with 20 and 21, but it almost looks like he takes another shift, and I'll explain here in a minute. So verse 22, and it says, and some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, putting them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So this is talking about a few different things. Initially, you think when you're witnessing somebody, and I will start there. As Christian people, we should be bringing the gospel to other people, right? We are all different members of the same body of Christ. We handle things differently. We react differently to what people tell us. So you have two contrary things that Jude is talking about, and he says, and some have compassion making a difference. That's the nice option, right? We like the compassion part. But some people have been through something in their life that they realize that they need the love of God, and they need that compassion, and they need to be around people who are hopefully, if you're part of the body of Christ, genuine, caring people. And that makes all the difference in their life. That's something that they've never had. Okay? So they realize they need the love of Christ. That could also be somebody that you're ministering to that may already be saved, right? They just may need that compassion in their life to get through whatever the issue is that they're going through. Now you have the other flip of the coin here. So it says, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So these are your hellfire and brimstone preachers, right? You all need to get saved now or you're going to hell. Okay? Vastly different. That being said, I've seen both work. And the example of that is my cousin Jeff got saved in the back of the church because someone had compassion and was talking to him. I've also been to that youth camp. I mentioned Johnny Pope a couple weeks back, how there was hundreds of people that either rededicated their lives or got saved because he preached a terrifying message on hell. Terrifying. I mean, I say this as a joke, but it's serious. Like, it made you double check yourself to be like, okay, wait. Did I do A, B, and C? Okay, all right, I'm good, Lord. All right, I'm saved. If I wasn't, I'd have got saved that day. Right? Terrifying message on hell. And that's okay. Some people need that. Right? Some people realize they're sinners. And then they see, yeah, I've been a sinner. I've been these terrible things. And we've all been those terrible things as well. And if I don't get this right, I'm going to hell. Some people need that. Some people, now, let's just say you're saved. Here's the other side of that. You're saved, and if you read the last part of this verse, it says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You get these people who are zealous. They just, I don't know if you've been this way. You ever been around somebody that just speaks what's on their mind? There is no filter. Right? Sometimes I can be that person, so I apologize to anybody that I offended. But that's just who I am sometimes. Sometimes I just say it, right? And some people will get offended. And you're like, man, why are you getting offended? I'm just telling you the truth, right? What do you mean? And I remember I don't argue very much, especially with my boss at work, but one time I did. This is when I worked in another facility. He asked me, he's like, hey, look into these reports. The numbers are off. Can you figure out what's going on? And then I found out that somebody was falsifying numbers, right? And it wasn't anything that would have affected any budget or anything like that. It made them look better, right? So I reported to my boss, and ended up that him and the other guy were really close friends and went golfing all the time. And so the guy that asked me to find the problem gets mad at me, starts yelling at me. So I told him, I was like, hey, you know what? The next time, ask somebody else to do it. It's probably the worst thing you could say to your boss, right? Like, it's a terrible idea. But I told him, I was like, if you don't want the truth, don't ask me. You asked me to find the truth. I gave it to you. If you don't like it, go find somebody else. Terrible way to probably handle the situation. That's what was on my mind. That's how I said it, right? And some people react badly. But what this is talking about here is you know your audience, right? Me personally, if I'm doing something wrong, I would rather you just come out and say it, right? And hopefully I would respond well to it. But sometimes people respond well to that because, like, hey, you know what? I haven't been living for the Lord. Those things are bad. You know what? You're right. I do need to fix those things, right? As to where if you sugarcoat it, they might keep doing it because, like, oh, they'll forgive me. It's fine. It's okay if I do this. So both are effective at both things, right? And different people are going to be good at doing different things. Like, I'm up here teaching Jude, right? The Lord has not called me to be a pastor. Can I teach? I think everybody should be able to give an account of the Word of God, right? But I'm not a pastor. It's not what I've been called to do, right? Not everybody's teachers. Lord knows I'm not a singer. So we all have different jobs. We all have different roles. And that's what Jude's pointing out here is you're going to approach these situations, you're going to witness to people, and you're going to uphold what the Bible says, and you're going to minister to people who are hurting, right? But when you do it, he's already established the rules of how you should do it in verse 20 and 21. Keep your focus on those things, right? When you're witnessing, you're ministering to somebody, keep the focus on the Lord, pray in the Holy Ghost, the love of God, and then eternal salvation through Jesus. That's what you keep the focus on. That'll keep you straight in your Bible study. That'll keep you straight when you're giving advice to people, and that'll keep you straight. And so that's what he's saying. So he's built up for all these verses, these people that have these false doctrines, and everything has been the flesh. They have their own interests in mind. They're doing this for their own wicked ways, right? And then you get to these four verses, and he says, I'm going to give you two verses on how to deal with it, And I'm going to give you two verses on what to keep your mind on and how to talk to people. Right? So he gives us, and well, he's giving them the negative, but then he gives them an answer. And that's what I like about your Bible. The Bible will give you the answer. Okay? And we're going to finish up Jude today. But I love the way it ends, okay? Because it ends on a positive note, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. So we're going to read in verse 24. So it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." That is a great way to end a book or any conversation, right? Like that's you're leaving on such a high note on this. And what really kind of stood out to me is Jude took two verses to praise the Lord, and there is so much in those two verses that he's praising the Lord for. Okay, and a lot of it. And I'll just kind of go through it. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." We just went over verses that he saves you. He's the intercessor and obviously presenting you to the Lord. And then the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That means we learn there that Jesus enjoys doing it. Right? That's something that Jesus enjoys. Not just, I like doing that. It says exceeding joy. Then it says, to the only wise God, our Savior. And an interesting thing, if you look back, and I wish I would have wrote this down, but it's when God is talking to Balaam, it talks about how Balaam knew the one and only wise God. And you see that's kind of referenced here. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So he's established God's power as well. But what I find funny, I guess, and that might not be the right way to put it, is how he ends the verse. If you look, or how he ends the book, if you look back here in verse 4, it's kind of one of the first verses we started with. So Jude, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." I'm sorry, look back in verse 3. Verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." So he says, I'm going to talk to you about these things, but how he starts, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation." The whole purpose, Jude started this letter to write because he just wanted to talk about Jesus. He wanted to talk about how great God was. He wanted to talk about how great Jesus was and salvation and how we can be a better people together, right? But instead, he got wrapped up into talking about all this false teacher mess because it was running rampant in the church at that time. So he then takes the entire letter to write out Jewish history, physical examples, current history, recaps some stuff Jesus said, gives you how to deal with it, and goes, now we're going to talk about what I want to talk about. So I thought that was a great way for him to end it. He's like, this is how we're going to end this. And when you're around God's people who love the Lord and they want to talk about him, it shows. Right? And I don't mean in a fake way, like, well, praise God. No, I mean, like, people really want to talk about the Lord. It's something they're passionate about, right? And this is who he was. And that's how he ended it. He was like, all right, I've addressed the situation. I've given you what to do and helped you. Now we're going to talk about what I want to talk about. I want to praise the Lord. So I thought that was a great way for Jude to have ended it, being that that's what he originally wanted to talk about. So that's actually what I have for Jude. We finished a little early, but that's okay. Normally I finish late, so making up for lost time. But if anybody has any questions, let me know, but we'll end with prayer. So. Heavenly Father, just once again want to thank you for the opportunity to be up here to give out your word and to talk a little bit about Jude, Lord. And I know there's so much more that I didn't cover. And I just ask that anybody have any questions that they ask, and I do my best to answer those questions. Just ask that you be with everybody bringing forth your word this morning, Lord, and keep everybody safe as they travel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.